Thank you, Bill. Good morning, everyone. I think Bill or Chris, one of them last week, told you that I was preaching last week at the Smithfield Christian Church. One of our youth minister back in the early 2000s was a fellow by the name of Joe Thompson, and when he left Fairmount, had a couple other ministries, I think, down in North Carolina, but ended up at the Smithfield Christian Church as the preacher there, and is doing a fantastic job. The church is doing great, and he actually was off. The church gave him a sabbatical from preaching for the month of August, and so he had some of his friends from around the state come down and preach for him, and I was thrilled to be one of his friends that got asked to come down and preach. So just had a wonderful time at their little church down there. Not a little church, nice sized church there in Smithfield. At lunch, Joe and Beth took us out to lunch afterwards, and he told me, he said that Smithfield and Isle of Wight County in the next 10 years are going to double in population. That's on the other side of the river from Newport News, and as Newport News continues to grow, it's going to continue that growth over the river. And so Smithfield Church is going to have a great opportunity to minister to even more and more people. So I would just ask, when Smithfield crosses your mind, maybe when you're at the store buying bacon, you'll say a prayer for our friends at Smithfield Christian Church. You'll say a prayer for Joe and Beth and the leadership of their church as they continue to do a great job of sharing the word, and we'll get a chance to do it even more in the near future. So thank you for those prayers. Well, we began a new series last week called Renegade. There it is up on the screen, and I love it. I love the graphic and the pictures and the colors and the symbolism of what's being shown there. So as I always do at the beginning, you know, typically of the beginning of the series, I always do a little Googling to find out where we get these names and words from. I Googled renegade to see what would come up. And so other than the definition, which was the first thing to come up, you know, a dictionary definition, the first thing that came up was the Renegade television series from the 1990s, ran for 5 seasons and starred Lorenzo Lamas. I do not remember Lorenzo Lamas, but a lot of ladies in the last service, their eyes got real big. I think they were in love with Lorenzo Lamas back in the day. How many of you, anybody remember the Renegade TV series? One person in the back. Did you like it? Was it good? And that's about what I've gotten from everybody. Yeah, you know, I never saw it. And I'm not having any reason to go watch it now. But that was the first thing that came up. That kind of surprised me. Some video games that go by that name were the next. There's a popular 1979 song by Styx, Renegade. That's played all the time on 70s radio, and that's what I love to listen to. There were quite a few links to Jeep Renegades, for which now I'm being inundated with ads to purchase a Jeep, so that's really awkward. Shockingly, those first few pages of results did not include the Renegade steak that you can buy at Longhorn Steakhouse, which is pretty awesome. Nor did Google pop up with Richmond Renegades. Can you believe that? The Richmond Renegades did not pop up. The Richmond Renegades, for some of you children in the room, they were a defunct hockey team that used to play in the now defunct Richmond Coliseum. And so I miss them. I miss the Renegades. That was a lot of fun going down and watching some good hockey. Well, it wasn't really good hockey, but it was hockey. So there you go. Not surprisingly, I discovered no link referring to Jesus as a renegade. But while on earth, Jesus was indeed a renegade. The very first link that popped up is a definition. Merriam-Webster's online dictionary says, a renegade is an individual who rejects conventional behavior. And Jesus certainly did that while he walked this earth. Here in this year of Jesus, from the pulpit every Sunday morning, our sermons are focusing on Jesus, about how he was before the world began. We see in the book of Genesis, he existed before the world began. We see throughout the Old Testament glimpses of Jesus. We see prophecies of Jesus. Then we get to the Gospels and we see the teachings of Jesus. We're going to see the impact of Jesus that he has on the world. At Christmas time, we'll talk about the birth of Jesus, and also between now and the end of the year, we're going to have a series on Jesus in Revelation. And so we're going through the whole Bible talking about Jesus. It seemed wise to step from the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount that we spent all summer, we spent all summer long in the Sermon on the Mount. So we're stepping now from the words of Jesus to the actions of Jesus. Somebody who talked the talk but also walked the walk. Jesus sets the pattern for us. He teaches us how to live, and then he demonstrates for us how to live. As Chris said last week, a renegade is not rebellious, breaking rules just to break the rules. A renegade is not religious, somebody who keeps the rules out of legalism. But a Christian renegade is rooted in the Word of God. Everything Jesus does is because of his desire to live out the Word of God, the will of God, and everything that he did. And sometimes that makes you a renegade, an individual who rejects conventional behavior. If you follow the Word of God faithfully, if you enact the teachings of Jesus into your life, you will not be bound by the conventional behaviors of this world, and you too will be a renegade. What we find so often in the Gospels is that Jesus time and time again does the unexpected. In many ways, and many times, he does the exact opposite of what we might expect that he would do. This is what a renegade does. A renegade does the unexpected. A renegade behaves counter to conventional behavior, rejects cultural norms. For a Christian, we reject those things. We're not countercultural just to be countercultural. We're countercultural because God's ways are better than the culture's ways. And God's ways bring hope to a world mired in hopelessness. God's ways bring hope to people stuck in the selfish, negative ways of the culture that's all around us. Last week we walked through the countercultural approach to temptation, how to handle the enticements of the evil one with all of the things that he throws our way on a daily basis. The world would say when tempted, go for it. It's okay. If you want to do it, do it. But Jesus, in true renegade fashion, rejects the sinful enticements of the world for a closer walk with his Father in heaven. Today, we're reminded of Jesus' renegade behavior to the hurting people that were around him. I think everyone of us in this room would have to agree that we are surrounded by hurting people. Some of them are in this room right now, but when we get out into the world, when we get into the workplace, our neighborhoods, where we shop, where we go out to eat, where we play, where we recreate, everywhere we go, we are surrounded by hurting people. Now, some of those people are hurting because of choices that they have made. Some are hurting because of choices that others have thrust upon them. And when their hearts are broken, our hearts break with them. Others are hurting, physically hurting, literally hurting, due to a myriad of diseases or disasters or disorders that distress and often devastate the human body. Whatever the reason, whatever the cause, there is pain and suffering all around us. We cannot turn a blind eye to that pain and suffering. We cannot turn a blind eye to those people who are hurting and suffering all around us. Not if we want to be like Jesus. In Jesus' day, there was a law not to heal on the Sabbath. Now, interestingly, it's not a law that you will find in the Old Testament, do not heal on the Sabbath. It was actually a series of laws that were instituted over the centuries by religious authorities as they were defining parts of the Old Testament that are there in writing. They were defining what constitutes work, what constitutes rest, what you could do on the Sabbath, and what you could not do on the Sabbath. The fourth commandment, you will remember, said to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, that it is a day of rest. So over the years, hundreds of rules have been developed to define what was and what was not work, what was and what was not rest. For instance, you could not cook on the Sabbath, but you could eat on the Sabbath. You could not write on the Sabbath, but you could read on the Sabbath. So there are lots of interpretations that have been shared over the centuries. Another one was you could save a life on the Sabbath. If your best friend was falling over a cliff, you could, throw a rope to him and pull him up. I mean, you could save a life on the Sabbath, but you could not heal on the Sabbath. That was considered illegal, and you'd have to wait for another day. So on to the scene comes Jesus. And of course, Jesus does the unexpected. I want to read for you a passage from John chapter 9. I always encourage you to find it in your own Bible. It'll be on the screen. But I want us to read about one of these where Jesus again goes against the cultural norms, the cultural expectations, and does the unexpected because he's a renegade. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Well, neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, yik, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." The word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Amen. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Uh-oh. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." God forbid healing a man on the Sabbath. God forbid that you heal somebody born blind on the Sabbath. Could it have waited a day? Could Jesus have waited a day? Of course he could have. Would the man have been just as healed and just as happy if Jesus had waited for the next day? Well, of course. But renegades, God's renegades, are rooted in God's word. And God's renegades go against the conventional cultural expectations because God's renegades know a couple of things that the world doesn't. A renegade knows people are more important than rules. People are more important than rules. There are lots of rules. Don't heal on the Sabbath. Don't get near a leper. Don't talk to Samaritans. Don't associate with tax collectors. That's actually a pretty good rule. But anyway, that's another day. All of these rules that have been instituted over the years that kept people from helping others. Maybe you've heard in your lifetime, keep your faith out of the workplace. Well, you know, you have to act a certain way. You have to dress a certain way to go to that church over there. Or maybe you heard more than once, "Sorry, we're on lockdown." There are lots of rules, some spoken, some unspoken, that are intended to keep people at arm's length, keep people from receiving help from those who could help them. I've said many times that the greatest impact of the pandemic will not be the loss of life, although that was horrible. The greatest impact of the pandemic will be the isolation that kept loved ones away from loved ones for months. Because why? Rules were more important than people. How many times do we let the expectations, the rules of this world around us, prevent us from reaching out to people in need? When I came to Fairmount, well over 20 years ago, Dr. Vincent D'Agostino was the principal at Attlee High School. Many of you had him, and I've only heard good things about Principal Agostino. And I remember distinctly, Steve Jackson was the youth minister at the time, and I remember he and I received personal invitations to come to Attlee High School. All of the ministers of Mechanicsville, all of the ministers of churches that fed into Attlee High School, were invited to come to the school and eat lunch with the students. Isn't that cool? And it wasn't just, you know, come on the first Sunday after the first Monday after the first month after the first full month. No, it was any day of the week. You could just show up, check in at the office, let us know that you're here, and then just go and have lunch with students. I am certain that he was advised that such a thing was a violation of some code somewhere. I am sure that there was somebody who even brought up the supposed separation of church and state. You can't have those preachers in here. But he didn't care. He wanted a community-focused, good people, loving on his students. Why? Because people are more important than rules. A renegade knows that people are more important than convenience. Helping others is not always convenient, is it? You know, it doesn't ever happen this way. You know, I think I got some free time on Friday. I hope I get a lot of calls to come for to go help people. It doesn't ever happen that way, does it? No, calls for help come when? In the middle of the night, right? Calls for help come when you're exhausted and on your way home from work. Calls for help come when you're on your way to church. Calls for help come at the least expected moments. One of my favorite accounts from all the Gospels is a story about inconvenience. Now, the word inconvenience is never used in the story, but it's all about inconvenience because Jesus knows people are more important than convenience. In the early chapters of Mark's Gospel, Jesus has this extensive teaching time. In fact, chapter 4 is full of just great parables and incredible teaching that Jesus has. And at the end of that chapter, he says, boys, he says, let's go hop in a boat. We're going over to the other side of the lake. And you got to get the impression that Jesus is, you know, the disciples are like, yay, get away from these people for a little while. That'll all be great. So they get inside and they get in the boat and they're headed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And while they're on their way, a squall comes up and they're all like, what? You know, and Jesus has to, he stands up, you know, he calms the storm and all that stuff. And then chapter 5, where are they headed, by the way? They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. You talk about a hurting, broken person. I'm not going to read the whole story. I bet you can imagine Jesus heals the man, right? He does. It's an amazing story of God's power. And then the account ends with Jesus getting back in the boat with his disciples and going back to where they started. Jesus went all the way across the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is not, you know, not the, you know, the Chickahominy River or something like that. You know, the Sea of Galilee, that's a big body of water. They all the work that would have been involved in putting up the sails. And when the wind stopped blowing, then they got a row. And, you know, the squall and all of his disciples, scared and frustrated and all that. He did all of that. He went through all of that to help one man. People are more important than convenience. I'll help you. You know, when I get some free time, I'll help you. Well, hey, I can't stop right now. I got to go, you know, whatever. I'll come over soon to help you with that. Hey, let's talk tomorrow. I know that there are deadlines and expectations from employers and schools and family. I know that. But I suspect that sometimes those things might be more excuses than they are reality. Helping others is not convenient. Sometimes it's dirty and messy. It's time consuming. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's expensive. We can't do everything. We can't help everyone all the time. But let's not let that be an excuse. Remember, Fairmount is a church that provides real hope for real people. And nothing says hope. Nothing communicates the hope that there is in Christ than us going out of our way to love and care for people. That's what renegades do. Renegades know that people are more important than rules. Renegades know that people are more important than convenience. And renegades know that people are more important than barriers. Culture erects many barriers that are either said out loud or kind of implied. Don't help those people. Don't help those people who brought problems on themselves. Don't help those people who look different than you. Don't help those people who don't like you. Don't help those people who have it out for you. Don't you help those people who've hurt you. There are a lot of barriers that our culture tries to instill in us that the culture wants us to think are unbreachable. But again, Jesus, he is our example. Though he and his disciples ended up staying there for several days, it appears as if Jesus' mission up into Samaria was one of those inconvenient side trips to help one person. They travel all the way up to forbidden Sychar, up in the region of Samaria, where Jews did not travel because Jews were hated, and they hated the Jews, and the Jews hated them. So nobody travels up there. Jesus does. And he sits down at a well. He sends his disciples off to get food. And while they're away, Jesus has a life-altering conversation with the Samaritan woman, rejected by her culture, alone, hurt, and broken. Just then his disciples return and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, to their credit, no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? That maybe they were starting to get it. Jesus doesn't care about man-made barriers. Jesus doesn't care about ethnic or racial or historic barriers that the rest of the world cared about. He cares about people. And this woman needed love. She needed hope. She needed a second chance. She needed salvation. And she got them because he doesn't care about barriers. What barriers do we put up that prevent us from treating people like Jesus treats people? Economic barriers. Well, they're too poor. I mean, all kinds of things. Political barriers. I don't agree with them. Racial barriers, spiritual barriers, lifestyle choice barriers, disagreement barriers, hurt barriers. What barriers do we put up that prevent us from treating people like Jesus treated people? I don't think anybody would be surprised at this statement. We live in a selfish world, right? We live in a selfish world. In one of the most renegade statements in all the Bible, passage that Chris referred to last week. Jesus says in Matthew 20, when his disciples are all jockeying for status and who's more important than who, I want this, I want that job, all that stuff. Jesus says, for the Son of Man, that's how he referred to himself, for the Son of Man did not come in the world to be served, but to serve. Be a renegade. Put people first. Put your name in that statement today. I won't ask you to do that out loud. I'll do it out loud just to show you how I want you to do it. For Rick Raines is not in this world to be served, but to serve. Be a renegade and put people first. There's some people out here today who are a lot like me. You're like, Rick, I'm not the renegade type. I'm not very renegade-ish. I'm a rule follower. And I go, yep, amen, I'm a rule follower. I like, black and white. I like to know what the rules are. I like to know what's expected of me and stay there and do it. I understand. But that is not what Scripture has asked us to be. Scripture has asked us to love people in spite of the rules, to love people in spite of inconvenience, to love people in spite of the barriers that we put up, society puts up, sometimes even churches put up. We need to get beyond those things and love people like Jesus loves them. I love what Paul says. Paul says at the beginning of chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians, he says, now this is him saying it, not Rick Raines. This is him saying it. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's what Paul says. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That is what everyone in this room is called to do today, is follow the example of Christ. Follow the example of the one who overlooked all of those hindrances, all of those rules, all of those things, and said, nope, I'm going to love and care for people. Let's follow the example of Jesus today. And then I want to say this, and then I'll get out of the way. You know, there's also people in this room right now who are hurting. And sometimes I think when we're hurting, when we're broken, when we're going through a period of brokenness, sometimes I think we want someone else to know it and reach out to us. But sometimes you're really good at hiding it. So if you're hurting today, then I want you to reach out to somebody. Maybe somebody ran around you right now. Maybe me, one of the staff, one of these good people. But all these people, these are all good. Yep, they're even Will. They're all good people back here. They'll come talk to one of them, come pray with one of them, come see me. We have people all throughout this room who would just love to talk with you about whatever struggle you're going with. Maybe you need prayer. We're here for that every Sunday because all of us struggle with brokenness. And you don't have to struggle alone. So we want to offer that, come alongside you, and we'll help you however we can. We'd love to do that. We're one family. We love each other, and we're here to serve not ourselves. We're here to serve each other and serve the world around us like Jesus did. Let's stand. Let's sing together.